الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد, my brothers and sisters, we continue with our series of lectures on the rights of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم on us, his ummah. And as I mentioned before, the issue of rights is that we are accountable for fulfilling them. And if we do not fulfill the rights, then we will be questioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from being questioned, because as Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha reported, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes hisab will be destroyed. If Allah takes account, that person will be destroyed. And Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha asked him, Ya Rasulullah, even you? He said, even me. So she said, when we ask, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make this dua, Allahumma hasibni hisaban yasira. Oh Allah, make my hisab easy. So she said, what is the meaning of this dua? He said, the meaning of this dua is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will simply take your book and say, go into Jannah, khalas. But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts asking questions, and if he asks and takes account of what we did, he said, there is nobody on the face of the earth who can stand for that, who can stand up to that kind of accounting, and they will surely be destroyed. It is very important to remember these hadith in case we get arrogant about our own amal. We tend to become very arrogant about our own deeds, that, oh, I am praying and this and that and so on and so forth. Believe me, not one of them is worth a whit if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seeks to take account. Because only on one matter, on ikhlas, are you doing it only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is not one single amal, at least I can speak for myself, there is not one single deed which will stand on that. Are you doing it only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That one question alone is enough to wipe out entirely every single thing that I have done or said from the day I started speaking till the day whenever it is when I will stop speaking. It is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that will see us through. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said there was a man among the people of the past who made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and said, oh Allah, give me provision in such a way that I am completely freed to do your ibadah 24 hours of the day. So he said, remove from me the need to sleep, remove from me all human needs, and give me sustenance in such a way that I can worship you 24 hours of the day. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the man, Allah gave him a life of 500 years. So he worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this way for his entire life. And then when he died, he said he is presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, go into Jannah by my rahmah. The man says, no, I want to go into Jannah on the basis of my deeds. I worshipped you for 500 years without any break. I want to go, I earned the Jannah. So I want to go into Jannah because of my deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, go into Jannah by my rahmah. The man says, no, I want adl, I want justice. I worked for this thing. So I want to go into Jannah, but on the basis of my deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, go into Jannah by my rahm, by my mercy. The man says, no, I will go into Jannah, I want to go into Jannah, but on the basis of my deeds. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that in that case, let the mizan, let the accounting begin. And he says to the malaika, put the value of his eyesight, put his eyes on one pan, the value of his eyesight, and put the number of deeds that will take to pay for this value, which I gave him free. They put all his deeds of 500 years on the other pan, and the pan with the eyesight is still down. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, now your deeds are worth nothing. So go into Jahannam with my adal. Because you have no deeds. So what happens to you if you have no deeds? You go into Jahannam. And then the man makes maghfirat and he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he makes tawbah and istighfar and so on and so on. But as you know, tawbah and istighfar on the day of judgment is worthless. There is no tawbah and istighfar on the day of judgment. On the other hand, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned a man who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu will call. And he will stand before him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to him, Fulan bin Fulan, this is what you did on such and such a day in such and such a place. And Allah will mention something evil, something bad, some sin that the man committed. And the man will say, well, what is he going to say? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was witness to that. The man himself was not aware. Hasan al-Basri said, I try to avoid sin, I do not commit sin because I am ashamed, because Allah is watching me. So obviously when this man was committing the sin, he was not aware that Allah was watching him, he forgot that. So he committed the sin. So he said, Ya Rabbal Alameen, I accept. I mean, how can I deny you? Because you were witness to that. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will mention another one. And he will say, on such and such a day, this is what you did. The man will say, Ya Rabbal Alameen, there is no defense against you. Yes, I accept this. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remind him of sin after sin after sin. And every sin, the man will accept. He will own up because there is no choice. And then the man will say, he will say, Ya Rabbal Alameen, I accept all that you have said. Yes, I did all of these things. But Ya Rab, when I was alive, you covered them up. You did not allow anyone to see this. You never made this public. You, nobody but you know that I did these things. People respected me. People loved me. People honored me. Because they did not know what I was doing. You knew, but you covered me up. You are Sattarul Uyub. You are the one who covers the faults of people. You are Ghaffarul Dhunub. You are the one who forgives people's sins. He said, Ya Allah, you covered everything. But Ya Rab, today, in this place, where everybody is watching, my parents are there, my grandparents are there, children are there. Everyone is there. All those who loved and respected me in the world, they are all here. And I have been exposed before all of them. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to him, turn around and look. Turn around and look. And he said, the man will turn around and he will see that there is a curtain. There is a curtain between him and everyone else. Allah will say, I covered your faults in your life and I have covered your faults here. He says, no one knows except me. He says, now I forgive you, go into Jannah. This is the mercy of my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make every one of us that person who will be forgiven without question on the day of judgment. My brothers and sisters, this deen, this beautiful deen, was brought to us by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is thanks to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I am standing here and speaking. It is thanks to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you are sitting here and listening. The hidayat is from Allah, but the means of hidayat is the Nabi alayhi salam. There is no direct hidayat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without the intervention of the Nabi, because any hidayat leads to Islam, and Islam came to us from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Quran is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we heard the kalam bi sawtil qari Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. The kalam of Allah is the kalam of Allah, but we heard the kalam in the voice of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And therefore it is incumbent upon us to send salat and salam, to send durood and salam on Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam every time his name is mentioned before us. The least of that is to say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Never, never, never allow yourself to use and say the word Muhammad without saying sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No matter what, no matter where you are. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, we are looking at the right of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is to honor and respect Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family, his Ahlul Bayt. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inna Allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. The ayat of Suratul Ahzab, which all of us know the meaning of, which is, verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his malaika, his angels, send salat and salam, send salutations and blessings on the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us, O you who believe, ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. Anytime this comes before an ayat, that ayat is the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, sallu alayhi. You also send salam and blessings on him. Wa sallimu taslima. And you salute him and you greet him with all respect and with salam. What more proof can anyone want after this ayah, for those who need proof, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that he and his angels, Jalla Jalaluhu, sent salam on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and ordered us to do the same. A slave can't hope to emulate or copy any action of his Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu except this one. How can we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the honor of being ordered to do what he does? This is the barakah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our lives and the honor of being his ummatis. The Sahaba asked, and this is the beauty of the Sahaba alayhim as-salam, ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain. They did not do anything on their own. They did not invent anything. They asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Sahaba asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam how they must send salam on him. And he taught them Durud Ibrahim, which we recite in Salah. Abu Muhammad Ka'b ibn Ujra radiallahu anhu reported, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to us and we asked him, Ya Rasulullah, we know already how to greet you, that is to say assalamu alaikum. After this ayat was revealed, he said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to us and we said to him, sallimu taslima. Allah said, greet him with salam. They said, we know this, how to greet you by saying assalamu alaikum, but how should we send salatu wassalam on you? Because before that Allah said sallu alayhi, so how must we send salam and salat on you? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammadin kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammadin kama barakta ala Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. And this is in Bukhari and Muslim. My brothers and sisters, as I mentioned earlier, it is the right of Rasulullah ﷺ that every time we hear or see or write or read his name, we must send salam on him by saying at least sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ubay bin Ka'b radiallahu anhu said, I said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I send a great deal of blessings, I send a great deal of salah. Salah, when the term is mentioned, the lughwi mana, the dictionary meaning of the word salah is du'a. And salah, when it refers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the salah which we do, which is your namaz. So salah as the rukun of Islam is the salah that we pray the five times. But salah as a generic term, as the meaning, the linguistic meaning of salah means dua. So salah on Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam means make dua for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. So Uwayy bin Ka'b radiallahu anhu, he said, I asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, I send a great deal of salah, great deal of blessings and dua on you. How much of my dua? Now he's talking about, he makes dua for himself, his family, and whatever else he makes dua for. And he also makes dua for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he says, out of all of this dua, he said, how much should this be sending blessings upon you? How much of this dua should be durud? How much of this time that I spend in making dua should be sending dua on you sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whatever you wish. So Ubay bin Ka'b radiallahu anhu said, one quarter. And he said, whatever you wish, if you do more, that will be better for you. So he said, I asked him one half. He said, whatever you wish, and if you do more, that will be better for you. He said, I asked him two thirds. He said, whatever you wish, and if you do more, that will be better for you. So he said, I will make all of my dua for you. He said, all my dua, which means I will not make any dua for myself. I will only send salat and salam on you. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, then your concerns will be taken care of and your sins will be forgiven. And this is in Tirmidhi Sahih Hadith. Now the shara of this hadith, the tashri of this hadith, the explanation of the hadith is two things to understand. First of all, there is nothing wrong in making dua for yourself. So please do make dua for yourself. There is nothing wrong in doing that. But here the person, Ubay bin Ka'b, is being told that even if you did not make any dua for yourself and you simply send salat and salam on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah will do whatever you wanted for yourself for you anyway. Because Allah knows what you need. You don't have to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. To ask Allah is permissible. To ask Allah is ibadah. To do dua itself is ibadah. Alhamdulillah. We are not denying that. But we are saying that if a person has only that much of time and he is spending this time sending salat and salam on Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then this is sufficient for him, for his own concerns to be taken care of by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his sins also will be forgiven. Abdullah bin Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhuma, he reported, he said, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, whoever makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to exalt my mention, which means to raise my level, to raise my status, to bless me, whoever makes a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this, Allah will exalt his mention 10 times. Whoever sends salam on me once, Allah will send salam on that person 10 times, and he will remove from him 10 sins, and he will raise his levels by 10 degrees. What is the meaning of raising the level with 1 degree? 1 degree. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there will be people sitting in Jannah, and in the Jannah they will look up and they will see the next level of Jannah. We're not talking about 10 levels ahead or 100 levels. One level. He said they will see the Jannah one level more than them, and it will appear to them like the stars appear to you from here. So they will ask the people of Jannah, they will ask the Khuddam, they will ask the people around them, they will say, what level is that? They will say, this is one level beyond you, one level above you. So this person will say, well, you know, subhanAllah, ajeeb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's qudrat, alhamdulillah, Allah gave me this Jannah, I'm very happy, but this person in that other level of Jannah, how many wonderful things he must have done and how many millions of good deeds he must have done and so on and so on. They will say, no, he didn't do any of that. He didn't do any million good deeds. He said he did only one thing more than you. They say, what is that? He said, Subhanallah, one time more than you did. That's it. One time. One word of dhikr is one daraja in Jannah. The difference between that and the next one is like the difference between the earth and the stars. So imagine now when you are reading durood, when you are sending salat and salam on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for every time you say Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala Ali Muhammad, kama salli ta'ala Ibrahim wa ala Ali Ibrahim annaka hamidun majid, Allahumma barik ala Muhammadin wa ala Ali Muhammad, kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala Ali Ibrahim annaka hamidun majid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent 10 times salam on you, 10 darajat in Jannah increased, 10 sins wiped out. Make this into a reflex action for yourself. Make it like breathing. Continuously. Anytime you have to speak something useful, speak. Otherwise, keep your mouth shut. Keep on reciting durood. Continuously. It's good in many, many, many ways. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu, he said, I came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was in sujood. And he elongated his sajda. And then when he sat up from the sajda, he said to Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu, Jibreel alayhi salam came to me and said, whoever sends blessings, salat and salam upon you, I will send blessings on this person. And whoever sends greetings, salam on you, I will send greetings to that person. So I made shukr, I made the sajda of shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu reported, he said that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the people who will be nearest to me on the day of resurrection will be those who make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala most often for me. And this is in Tirmidhi. Imam An-Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi says, nearest to me signifies those who are most entitled to my intercession. Most entitled to my shafaat, sending dua on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, making dua to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam means to send durood and salam on him. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, may his nose soil with dust. May his nose, may the nose of the person soil with dust in whose presence mention is made of me. In whose presence I am mentioned, and he does not make dua for me, and he does not say sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he does not send salat and salam on me. Imam An-Nawawi rahmatullah alayhi states the saying, may his nose be rubbed in dust, or may his nose be soiled with dust, means to suffer humiliation and disgrace. That is, it means may such a person be humiliated and disgraced who hears my name and does not invoke Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings upon me. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is very specific about this. Please understand, this is not some ego trip. This is the right of the Nabi. It is the right of Risala. For Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to say this, he's teaching us adab and he's teaching us manners. And he's teaching us something which is of great benefit for us. Just think about this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending salam on you. What can be better than that? And how many times? 10 times for every time you send salam on his Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is better than that? Please tell me. The problem is we have killed our hearts. So therefore we have no idrak, we have no understanding of this. That's why I keep on saying all the time, sit down and reflect. Put aside all your contraptions. Sit down and reflect and feel this. What is the feeling to say that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I send salam on him and Allah is sending salam on me? What does it feel like? It was narrated that Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he said Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam ascended the minbar and he said Ameen, Ameen, Ameen. He ascended the minbar and he said Ameen 3 times. They asked him, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you ascended the minbar and you said Ameen, Ameen, Ameen. He said, alayhi salam, Jibreel alayhi salam came to me and said, if Ramadan comes and a person is not forgiven, meaning Ramadan comes but the person does not do anything in Ramadan, he does not pray, he does not give sadaqah and so on and so forth, he does not fast. If Ramadan comes and a person is not forgiven, he will enter Jahannam and Allah will cast him far away. Say Ameen. So I said Ameen. Here is Jibreel alayhi salam making a statement, and he is telling Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa to say Ameen to that statement. How powerful is that? So he said, Ya Rasulullah, so he said, if Ramadan comes and a person is not forgiven, he will enter Jahannam and Allah will cast him far away. Say Ameen. So I said Ameen. And then he said, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if both or one of a person's parents are alive and he or she does not honor them and he dies, he will enter Jahannam and Allah will cast him far away. Say Ameen. Your parents are a blessing for you. And please understand this very clearly. Sometimes all our young youth who have suddenly discovered that they are Muslim, they get very, you know, charged up about this, and they say, see, my father has no beard. My father, your father is your father even if he is Iblis. And he has a right to being honored, and you have no right to say anything critical to your father. Your father's job is to do your tarbiyah. It is not your job to do the tarbiyah of your father or your mother. Please understand this very clearly. If you have discovered Islam, alhamdulillah, be a good Muslim, which is do the khidmat of your father. If your father or your mother tell you to shave your beard, do not shave your beard. Because their hukum is wrong. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told you not to obey that. If they tell you to make shirk, do not make shirk. If they tell you to commit any sin, do not commit any sin. But do that silently. Just don't do it. I mean, he's not going to tie you up and shave you forcibly. If he does that, that sin is on him. But even in that, don't argue, don't shout, don't scream. Don't say you are wrong and you are kafir and inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Please understand this, very, very important. Just because you have discovered Islam, it does not make you free from adab for your parents. Your parents are your parents, period. Even if they are not Muslim, they are still your parents. Even if they are not Muslim. Your parents, even if they are Hindu or Christian or whatever, they are still your parents. They are still entitled to be honored by you, no matter who they are, no matter what they do. Stand in the night and cry before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the fact that your father does not obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or does not follow the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Stand in the night and cry for that. If you really love your father, do that. If you love your mother, do that. Hijab for the mother and not the beard. But seriously, parents are entitled to that. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, Jibreel said to me, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if both or one of a person's parents are alive and he or she does not honor them and he dies, he will enter Jahannam and Allah will cast him far away. Say Ameen. And he said, I said Ameen. And then he said, Jibreel said, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you are mentioned in a person's presence and he does not send blessings upon you, he does not say alayhi salam, he does not say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he does not recite the durood, and he dies, he will enter Jahannam and Allah will cast him far away. Say Ameen. So I said Ameen. And this is in Ibn Hibban, and it is related as Sahih. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not make my grave a place of festivity. Do not visit it often. But make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for me, for your dua, your durood and salam reaches me wherever you may be. And this is in Abu Dawud. On a side note, therefore, the thing that a lot of people do when somebody is going for Hajj or Umrah, they say, please give my salam to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Please understand, there is no basis for this statement in any evidence in Islam. To say, please give my salam to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The way to give your salam to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is for you to sit in whichever country you are and recite durood, which will go to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by a means which is far more reliable than whoever you are sending. Because that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appoints an angel to take this to the Nabi alayhi salam and to give it to him in a way which suits his majesty and grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you are saying to somebody, give my salam to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is not from the sunnah. The person cannot give your salam. If he gives the salam, it does not mean anything. So don't do that. Do what in ibadat, do what Rasulullah ﷺ told us to do, do what the Sahaba did. Don't invent. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu again said that Rasulullah ﷺ said, whenever somebody greets me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala returns the soul to my body and I return his greeting. And this is in Abu Dawud. And of course, we know that the Anbiya alayhi salam, they are alive in their graves. In any case, these are matters from the ghaib. Don't try to reason in that and say, logically, if he is already alive, then how is his soul being returned? If he is not alive, soul is being returned, then how do we say he is alive? All of these kinds of arguments are worthless because nobody can answer them. Because these are from the matters of the ghaib. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted us to understand, he would have explained it. This is not something that you have to understand in terms of our logic. We believe this because this is what Rasulullah ﷺ told us. So when you go there to the Rawda Mubarak, then you stand there and you say, Salatu Salam alayka ya Rasulullah. And inshallah, this salam is taken and heard by Nabi ﷺ and he returns the salam to you even though you do not hear that salam. Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu reported and said, the miser, the kanjus, the baqil, is the one in whose presence I am mentioned, but he does not supplicate, he does not make dua for me. He does not say alayhi salam, does not say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fadala bin Ubaid radiallahu anhu reported, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard someone making dua after his salah. So he finished his salah and he was making dua, but he immediately started asking Allah, ya Allah, give this, give this, give this. He did not praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he did not send durood on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this man has rushed. This man is in a hurry. And then he called the man and he said, when any of you have finished your salah and you want to make dua, first praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the beginning, and then he should make dua to Allah for me, meaning he should send durood on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then he may make whatever dua he likes, and inshallah Allah will accept this, and this is in Abu Dawud and Tirmidhi. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu said, reported from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that a dua that is not preceded by durood to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hangs in the air, does not go anywhere until this durood is sent. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in another place, he said, say, send salat and salam on me before the dua and after the dua. Bracket it with durood before and after. Inshallah al-Musta'an, Allah will accept this dua. Abdullah bin Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhuma reported, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, when you hear the adhan, repeat what the muadhin says. So, when you hear the adhan, when he says Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, repeat that. And when he says Hayal al-Salah and Hayal al-Falah, say La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And then ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to exalt my mention, meaning send durood on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do not immediately recite the dua of adhan after the adhan. First repeat the words of the adhan, then send durood on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then make dua, which is the dua of adhan. اللهم رب هذه الدعوة التامة وصلاة القائمة آتي محمدا الوسيلة والفضيلة وبعث مقاما محمودا الذي وعدت. This is the dua, and he said that if anyone asks this and if anyone asks Allah to give me al-wasila, it becomes incumbent upon me to intercede for that person, to make shafaat for this person. And this is in Muslim. In another hadith, Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu reported, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he who says after the adhan, Ashadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa ashadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu raditu billahi rabban wa bi muhammadin rasulan wa bil islami deenan. If he says this, and we know this dua, everyone, all of us, we say this, and we must say this in the morning and in the night, this part of our azkar of morning and night, he said, this person's sins will be forgiven. So reciting the kalima and then saying this dua after that, the person's sins will be forgiven. My brothers and sisters, we take pride in our associations with people and institutions who we believe add value and honor to us. We show off our association with them by wearing their colors, their tags, their logos, their names and their styles. We do that believing that the name and fame that is theirs will rub off on us also. If we show how much we love them and we identify ourselves with them. Let me remind you about your Gucci handbags and Louis Vuitton handbags, which is, that's why I always say a Gucci or a Louis Vuitton handbag is not luggage. A Rolex is not worn to tell the time. It is worn to tell the world. A Montblanc pen is not a writing instrument, but an article of jewelry. And of course, Armani is Armani. Nothing more needs to be said. An Emirates gold tag on your luggage means something. And I can tell you a lot many more about this, right? Now let us look in the mirror. Let us go after this salah, stand before the mirror. Let us look in the mirror and ask, which signs of Rasulullah are visible from our appearance, our manners, our dealings, our attitudes, our society, and our decisions? Do this as an exercise. Go stand before the mirror and ask, which of the signs of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam are visible from this picture which I am seeing in the mirror? Let us ask. Let's ask ourselves how much we value our association with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Not simply in name, not by singing anashid and singing naat, and not by making this long argument, should salam be recited standing up or sitting down? Durood you recite sitting down in salah, what is there to ask? You want to stand up at the time of after attaya? Create a new salah for yourself? This is all from shaitan. Shaitan involves you in stupid arguments instead of following the sunnah. The sunnah is absolutely clear. There is no need for any argument. But shaitan puts a spin on it, so he creates divisions among the ummah. So ask, which signs of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam are visible in my life? Not simply in name, but in action. And the signs that we display of our association with Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if you do not see these signs, ask yourself, what really is the value of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in your life? If you want to do good for yourself, never do one thing, which is never lie to yourself. Never lie to yourself. Never lie to anybody, but definitely not to yourself. So don't tell lies to yourself. Don't tell yourself that you love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when one day when you are lying in your qabr, this will be thrown in your face. Don't do this to yourself. You owe it to yourself to be truthful to yourself. So ask yourself, what really is the value of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in your life? Ask yourself what you are losing as a result of this. And believe me, my brothers and sisters, you are losing. You are losing big time. Just because you don't see air pollution does not mean it is not there. You know which is the worst forms of cancer? The worst forms, the most virulent forms of cancer are those, like pancreatic cancer, for example, and some other cancers, which you see no sign of it at all until it has completely metastasized and you are beyond any cure. Nothing can be done. That is when the sign comes. When there is nothing more to be done. That's what happened to Steve Jobs. That's what happens to a lot of people. There's no sign of cancer. So just because you're not seeing any signs, do not believe you're not losing. The thing to do is to catch it, and to catch it early, and to change it before you are shown a mirror, and that will not be a mirror of your and my making. That is a different mirror. My brothers and sisters, believe me, if you are not showing the signs of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if I am not showing the signs of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in my life, then I am losing big time. And one day I will know. And one day you will know. But that day, you will not be able to make up for it. So wake up and smell the coffee. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to be pleased with you and never to be displeased, to make you true ummatis of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who are confident and proud of their association with our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, an association beyond which there is no association, an association that adds value. There is no comparison. We cannot even actually seriously compare the value of being a Muhammadi, a value of being a Muslim, a value of being an ummati of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with any other association in his life. Because this association will take us into Jannah. This association will save us from the hellfire, inshallah. Find me, tell me which other association will take you into Jannah other than the association with Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rahman rahimin.